you strong. Come you broken. Come and hear. He has spoken. Come. Come. Good to see you today. My name is Josh. If you don't know me, and I'm one of the pastors here. Welcome to all of you joining us online. Really glad you can be with us today too. I wonder, have you ever heard of the Tacoma Narrows Bridge? Ever heard of that? It's a bridge out in Washington State, and yeah, it's not working there. That's all right. It's a bridge out in Washington State, and it was built in 1940, and is kind of a marvel of modern engineering at the time. It was sleek, it was slender, it was efficient. It connected Tacoma to the Kitsap Peninsula in Washington State, and drivers admired, you know, all of its graceful lines, and it was just this big, amazing, and beautiful bridge in Washington. Well, it opened in July of 1940, and one of the things people started noticing as they went across it is it moved sometimes. And depending on the day, it would move a little bit, and they started calling it Galloping Gertie was the name that they called it. Well, the engineers who designed this bridge and built it had designed it to carry, you know, an incredible weight to span that gap and cross to the peninsula. But while they had factored in everything in terms of the strength that needed to carry cars and everybody across it, they hadn't factored in some of the other forces that were unseen that would affect it, specifically the wind. And the way it would cause resonance with this bridge. Well, fast forward to November 7th, 1940. And on that day, there were some pretty strong winds, about 40 miles an hour, but not outrageous, but still pretty stiff wind. And evidently, that was the exact speed to make the bridge resonate. And so what happened is suddenly, in pretty short order, the bridge began to move in big ways. A car got stuck out on it, and a guy ran off, and there's even video, if this keeps playing, of him running back to get his dog out of the car. See, the engineers had never taken into account all of those ongoing forces from the wind and everything else around that would press in on and affect and form, ultimately, that bridge. It's pretty crazy. And the whole thing just keeps flopping and going. How would you like to be driving up to that at the toll booth? And eventually the whole thing goes down. Our lives can be a lot like that some days. You know, we might look good from the outside looking in. It might look strong. There might be sleek lines all around us. But there's something about forces from around us that suddenly can shape us and form us. And before we know it, we're flopping all over the place, and something internally is just causing us to break. Well, this morning we're going to be in Psalm 19, and Psalm 19 is really good news because it kind of addresses some of those things on the inside that help shape us and form us and prepare us for some of those crazy forces in our life. Particularly God's Word. We're in this series called Simple Habits, where we've made the claim that there's all kinds of spiritual habits or disciplines or things we could do to grow our faith, but there tends to be three primary streams of habits. And the idea is not for me to do more, but to say there's these common channels where God always pours out his grace. And what if I put myself consistently over time in those three channels? Specifically, hearing his voice from his word, having his ear, spending time in prayer, and then being among his people. And what happens is over time, it begins to form us and to shape us. And it generally doesn't happen like in an instant. It's usually this slow, steady build. And we'll talk about that. But today we're going to talk about that first of those three, of hearing God's voice, of being in the stream of his word. And Psalm 19 is one of my favorite psalms and addresses some of these things. If you got your Bible, you can turn there. But even before we begin, let's just read through the entire psalm, and then we're going to come back to a few of the verses there this morning as we go. Psalm 19. David writes this. He says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there any words, whose voice is not heard. We said part of, you know, one of those big streams of grace where God promises over and over to pour out his grace on us is when we're hearing his word, hearing his voice. And so this idea of speech is going to be big today. David goes on writing, he says, their voice goes throughout all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In them, he set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom, leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. It's rising from the end of the heavens and its circuit to the end of them, and there's nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, and the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. David's asking, God, by your word, keep me. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Well, with that bridge, over time, engineers realized how to build it in a way that it wouldn't flip and flop and fall apart like that. And there's a new bridge in that same spot now today that's been there for a long time. But God gives his word to do some of the similar work in our hearts, to build us and to form us and to shape us in such a way that we're prepared for all those different circumstances of life. So with that in mind, I'm going to pray, then we're going to come back to parts of Psalm 19. And just look, what does it look like to hear God's voice today? Would you pray with me? Father, thanks for Jesus. Thanks for your kindness to us through him. And thanks for your word. Holy Spirit, I pray you'd help me as I teach and preach your word, speak to me even as I speak, and enlighten each of us to the things that you've written. Help us understand them and apply them to our lives that we could grow in our faith and in our walk with Christ. So be with us today, I pray. We ask for your help, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing, I've kind of said it already, but when God speaks, he speaks to form us. He speaks to form you and me. That's why he speaks. In fact, the primary way that God forms us is by speaking. As we started this series and kind of did an intro last week, we just said that when it comes to our salvation, there's three primary parts to it, right? There's the moment of faith. It's two moments and a process. And when we become a Christian, when we put our faith in Jesus, it's that moment of justification where I'm declared righteous in God's sight. And all of Jesus' righteousness is given to me. And I'm justified in that moment. At the end, when Jesus returns or when I go to be with him, there's going to be this moment again of glorification where in an instant, all the things that were declared to be true of me here will be realized fully in that moment of glorification. But in our lives, there's this process that continues, where slowly the Holy Spirit, by God's word, is changing us and shaping us little by little to be more and more like Jesus. And so when we talk about some simple habits, we're saying we're in this process of sanctification. One day Jesus is going to complete it in an instant. But in the meantime, we can pull some of that into the present and walk with him today. And so as we talk about God speaking to form us, Psalm 19, I mean, the one thing to take some encouragement from is the fact that our God is a speaking God. He's a speaking God. You know, it's one of the most basic claims that the Bible makes, that our God speaks. In fact, from the very beginning, God's not silent. In Genesis 1, at creation, what do we read? And God said, let there be light. He spoke, and there was light, and there was darkness, and there was land, and there was water, and there was life, and all of it comes about simply because God speaks. He speaks and forms creation. And this continues, this pattern does all throughout Scripture, where God reveals himself by speaking. And often, even the things he speaks into existence then begin to speak truth about him. So look back at me at the beginning of Psalm 19. He speaks everything into creation, right? Back in Genesis 1. And now David says, now the heavens, those things he created, they declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. In fact, there is no speech, nor are there words whose voice isn't heard. What he's saying is, like, in creation, God is like constantly speaking, saying, here I am. I made this. There is a creator behind all of these things. Romans tells us that we have no excuse other than to conclude that there is a God and there is a creator by looking at creation. I mean, every day it's just pouring out speech. Even looking at the snow this morning on the ground or the ice on your windshield when you got out to the vehicle. Like there's even just beauty in that that speaks somebody created this and designed it to work this way. And none of that goes unheard. That voice of God through his creation is always continually heard. In fact, their voice goes throughout all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. In them, God has set a tent for the sun. I kind of like David's metaphor here. It's just kind of a cool image to think about. And the sun comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber. Imagine a guy getting ready to get married. He's excited on his wedding day and he comes out of his tent and he's ready to roll. He's ready for that day. And he, like a strong man, he's so fired up, he just runs his course with joy. He says, the sun is like that as it runs across the sky. It's rising from the end of the heavens, its circuit to the end of them. There's nothing hidden from its heat. Constantly speaking that there's a creator. Well, then you get to verse 7. And now David starts getting a little more sharper in his focus. Now, God isn't just speaking through what he's made, but he's speaking to us through his word, through his law, his testimony, his commands. And just like his voice shaped everything that was made, God now addresses us with words meant to shape us. Look at verses 7 and 8. The law of the Lord, his law, scripture, his word, is perfect, and it revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord, again, referring to his words, is sure. It makes wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right. They rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It enlightens the eyes. Now, this is really good news that God doesn't just form us and then leave us to sit here on our own trying to figure stuff out, but he actually speaks to us. He forms us by revealing truth and revealing who he is. And he addresses us directly. He's a communicating, speaking God. Now, he does it through creation. He does it through his word. We talked about this before. It's probably just worth mentioning briefly here that when you think about the way God reveals himself through creation, he does it in a general way for everyone. And so a lot of times we'll call that general revelation of God revealing himself and revealing his precepts, revealing his goodness, revealing that there's a creator. He does it in a general or generic way where everybody, there's not a time where you don't hear that voice. It doesn't go unheard. But then also he does it in a specific way, a special revelation, specifically through Jesus, his son, and through his word, and through the Spirit speaking to us through the word. And so what we're talking about today is that specific revealing of God in his word. And the Christian life doesn't begin with us reaching for God. It really begins with him revealing himself to us and speaking to us through all of creation. He's continually saying, here I am. But he also does speak specifically through his word. Long ago, at many times, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets through his word. In these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, even in Jesus, who's called the Word, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. For the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God forms us as he speaks. You know, sometimes I read his Word, and I'm encouraged. It rejoices my heart. Sometimes I read his Word, and it pierces my heart, right? And I go, man, there are some messed up things in me that need to change. And God does that in that he's forming us by his Word. Now, if God's a speaking God, then what that means is that since we're his people, we should be a listening people. We're putting ourselves in the channel of that grace of his Word and hearing his voice. So how do you hear his voice? Well, you're going to get tired of me saying this because I'm going to say it over and over. I already have in this book through his Word. That's how he speaks to us. He speaks to us primarily through his Word. And to listen to him speak is not a passive thing. It's not accidental. But in our culture, it's increasingly difficult, isn't it? I mean, there's so many voices constantly chirping all the time at us. There's algorithms that train us to keep scrolling and to scroll and to skim and to react and get emotional, and we lay our phone down. But then there's something where it's trained us to, formed us, I might even say, to pick it up and read those words again, look at those images again, and just continue. Now, can I give you a thought? And this is Josh speaking, not necessarily God's Word, right? So take it for what it's worth. This is my opinion. If you spend the majority of your time on social media doom scrolling, do you know what that is? Or you just, it's just like, it's just doom, because that's all that seems to be on there. And you're just there doom scrolling forever. Here's what's going to happen. Your heart and mind will be shaped and filled with doom or whatever it is you're looking at. And because you hear that voice so vividly and so loudly, it's going to be harder to hear God's voice. In the same way, if the voices chirping at you are always, you know, talk radio or Fox News or a podcast or whatever else, if that's the primary thing that's got your attention all the time, then it's likely that your life is going to be one filled with more and more anxiety about everything happening in the world. And trust me, there's plenty to be anxious about in the world right now, even, right? All around the world and in our nation. And what's going to happen then is that's going to crowd out God's voice, and it's going to make it harder to hear from him, because listening's an intentional thing. In fact, God speaks to form us because that's the way he created us. He knows and he designed us in such a way that outside voices shape us. And the intention with that is that his voice would shape us. But other voices do too. The question really is, then, what voices have our attention? Which ones are we listening to the most? Because they are forming us. You know, a lot of times we hear so many things and we just never slow down to really either consider the ways that it's forming us or deeply listen. But hearing God's voice isn't going to happen on accident. It requires some attentiveness. And Scripture knows this. It assumes it even, that God's people will be a listening people. For instance, Israel is called again and again to hear and to carefully give attention to God's voice. Jesus says the wise person doesn't just hear his words, but then they do them. In Deuteronomy, hear, O Israel, listen, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love him with all your heart and with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. They form you. They form your heart if you listen. Let me hear, I love this verse, let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. This verse is maybe a really good one for us to remember, even memorize, because our world is full of chaos right now, from wars to political division to lawlessness to irrationality, Ukraine to Venezuela to things happening in Minnesota and California, and fill in the blank, right? You don't need me to tell you about them. But when you only hear those voices, your heart's filled with anxiety. Yet what does God speak to his people? He speaks peace. He speaks peace to his people, to his saints. So maybe one of the reasons you're finding yourself more anxious or agitated or angry or whatever else is you've not slowed down to hear God speak, because he speaks peace. Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, he'll be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Listening is the doorway through which our formation happens. So when we listen to God speaking, he forms us, and ultimately he revives us. He revives our souls with his words. The psalmist said in Psalm 19, verse 7, right? The law of the Lord is perfect. Remember what the next line was before I show it to you? Reviving the soul. His law, his word is perfect. It revives us. Now, reviving doesn't mean gently encouraging. It doesn't mean like just this momentary shot of adrenaline. Scripture assumes that apart from God's word, something in us isn't just confused, but it's fading, that it's dying, and that it needs to be revived, given life. And God's word gives life. It gives life to us. I don't know about you, but my soul grows weary. I grow weary over time. My faith can thin at times. I desire to know God, but sometimes that desire to really know him and serve him gets dull. Hope you're okay that your pastor admits this. Is this just true? And so I do what any sincere person might do. I try harder. I work harder. Try to think more deeply. Try to be more disciplined. Get more things right. And sometimes that helps for a little bit. And I do. But in the end, I usually end up just feeling more depleted. I get down, I get frustrated, and I just kind of quietly quit in my heart. Well, that's because I don't just need to try harder, I actually need life. And the way I receive life is putting myself in the stream, in that channel of God's grace where I'm hearing his voice and hearing from his word. And here's the thing with that too. Just like we talked to, you know, I gave you that illustration of the boats going through the channel last Sunday, and like these boats in the channel and lake in the Erie Canal. And they would go, they get in the lock, and the water slowly rises. And they go, they get in the lock, and the water slowly rises. And in the moment, it doesn't even perceive that it's rising and moving up. But as you move forward down the line, after a great deal of time, you look back and you go, whoa, I made it a long way up here. God's word tends to work that way in our lives too. It's rare that there's these just big moments of transformation. It's the slow, steady growth where you might not notice much difference between January 11th, 2026 and January 12th, but you will notice a huge difference if you stay steadily in that stream between January 11th, 2026 and January 12th, 2029, because there's this slow, steady growth that God does. It's the mean by which he gives life. I mean, he speaks and life happens. He speaks to dry bones and they live. Jesus says his words are spirit and life. And he even says in John 6, the spirit who is, it's the spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. Our efforts, no help. The words that I have spoken to you, those are spirit and life. If I really want life, I've got to hear from his word. Peter even says we're born again through the living and abiding word of God. And so Psalm 19, again, it tells us the law of the Lord's perfect. It revives the soul. We don't work it out ourselves. It does the work of reviving us. Now, originally when God's word was written, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew because that was the language of the guys who wrote it. The New Testament was written primarily in Greek, or entirely in Greek, I should say, because it was the language of the guys who wrote it. And so our translation in English comes from Hebrew and from Greek, and sometimes just like there's words in English that like have extra meanings behind them or ideas, sometimes it's hard to totally capture that. That's why there's different translations, faithful translations of God's word that are helpful to read and get a glimpse on exactly the big idea there. Well, the word behind this reviving word, reviving is a great translation of that word. It's called mishbat. It's a Hebrew word. But it also is used over and over in the Old Testament for the idea of turning back to God. In other words, for repentance. To be revived means to repent and turn back. And the way God's word revives us is when we hear his word and we hear his voice, we respond, right? When we listen attentively. Some of you have kids. Your kids ever just dart off from you somewhere, like out towards the street, especially when they're little? And you know they're running for danger. And so what do? You just call really gently to them, right? No, I don't think so. Like you start shouting, hey, get back here. And then if they hear you, what do? They repent, they turn around and come back. But if they don't hear you, or they're not ready to hear yet, you yell louder. And eventually you run out into the street and grab them, kicking and screaming, and bring them back. God does the same with his word. He speaks, and when we hear it, it revives us because it causes us to turn back. It causes us to stop and to turn towards him. And when we ignore it, he calls louder. And when we ignore it some more, he calls louder. To where sometimes eventually he even runs and grabs us in the street and yanks us back, kicking and screaming. But his word brings life, and it not only brings life, it sustains life. I mean, even this idea, by the way, of reviving in Acts, when Peter's preaching, to go back to this idea, he says, repent, turn back that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing, of reviving may come. It's that same idea. The turn to God is reviving. And God's word does that for us. And it sustains us. Psalm 19 doesn't describe a one-time experience, but it actually talks about the things God's word does in us. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Revives and refreshes us. It makes wise the simple. I don't know about you, but I'm not super smart. I'm kind of simple. But God's word makes me wise. Rejoicing the heart. Brings joy, it enlightens the eyes. No wonder David wrote in Psalm 119, he said, my soul clings to the dust, so give me life according to your word. Jesus even put it pretty plainly. He said, man won't live by bread alone, but by, how's he going to sustain life? By every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And this is kind of where sometimes we just struggle, right? We know God's word gives life, but we feel like sustaining that life is totally up to us. And that when we feel dry, we just need more discipline, we need more effort. And so we feel guilty, like we failed. But that's why this idea of being in the streams of God's grace, I mean, when I'm just under his word, it's this slow, steady progress. Because there's sometimes where, I'm just being honest with you, like I read God's word and I go, yep. I believe that. That's true. I have no idea how that applies to my life today. And I pray and call it a day. There's other times I read God's word, and it's powerful in my life, right? It brings joy. It enlightens my eyes. It, whatever else. But I'm trusting that the more I just stay steadily in that stream of his word, change happens and comes over time. And he revives me, he sustains me. It's kind of like when Paul writes to the church in Colossae, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You ever make tea? Ever made tea? You pour your hot water and you put in the tea bag. You just dip it in and pull it right back out, right? And then you got tea. Isn't that how it works? If you like hot water, that's how it works. But when does it actually become tea? You put it in, and if you dip it and pull it out, you better keep dipping. And you have to let it sit so it dwells in the water richly, and then suddenly the water changes and it becomes something new. That's how God's word works. It's just this slow, steady thing. But the problem is, a lot of times we tend to approach it like making tea with just dip in the bag. And we just kind of dip in. Oh, yep. Okay. I'm good for a while. But the problem is, it's not really going to change you until you let it dwell in you richly. And that's just a factor often of time and of hearing his word. It takes a while. And the longer it steeps, the richer it gets. And then it gives the Spirit more things within you to draw from you and to guide you. Because while God's word forms us and it revives us, it also guides us and gives us direction as we listen attentively. His word guides us. It gives light for our path. Psalm 19, right? It says that God's word enlightens the eyes. That's a really simple but pretty powerful image. Without God's word, we don't just lack information. We lack sight. If you talk to my wife, I think she's still hanging out in the comments. In the morning, if I don't put my glasses like in the same spot before I go to bed, I wake up in the morning, you guys are all an entire blur right now. And I walk around like this. Sometimes I even grab the flashlight on my phone and shine it so I can see a little better. And I just go around the house like looking for my glasses until I find them. And she just laughs at me because I can't even make my coffee until I get my glasses on. That's what God's word is like. When we just ignore it, we set it down and we don't steep ourselves in it. It's like we're going around life and just kind of a blur. But over time, he gives direction and guidance to us. David wrote, "Your word's a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path," even just for the next step. And the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. Jesus, it says of Jesus in Isaiah that he'll lead the blind in a way they don't know, and in paths that they have not known, he'll guide them. Turn darkness into light. Rough places to level ground. These are the things I do. And ultimately, God's word, it does. It points us to Jesus, who says, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me won't walk in darkness." And God's word is always pointing us to Jesus and giving light for the path. And it's also giving direction then just for life as a whole. Psalm 19 goes on. Let's just read the whole thing again here, these 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord's pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord's clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there's great reward. God gives direction because he gives warning through his word, telling us things we should do, telling us things that we shouldn't do. Because when God says don't, he's saying don't hurt yourself. It doesn't just illuminate the path right in front of us. It really directs us. Now, the way scripture does that is rarely with a detailed map, but with a shaped life. It's like this, I'm constantly banking up his word in my heart and in my life, and the Spirit dips into that then to lead me. And you're more likely to get direction as you let his word shape you over time. That's why listening attentively matters, right? I've stored up your word, don't have that there, but I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, David writes. And so God speaks to form us, reviving our souls with his word, guiding us as we listen attentively. But as we wrap up, let's just try to make this practical. So I mentioned there's these three streams, right, of God's grace that we're talking about in this series, some simple habits. First one, hearing his voice in his word. So what are some practical ways you might try to do this week if you if you're not doing it well. Well, first, I maybe mentioned this to you on our website. If you go to wallaceybible.com, click the Grow menu and go to Habits or just go to /habits, you'll find a page that's full of some videos, some devotionals, things we just keep adding to over time. There's scripture memory cards you can download and print there, just to be in God's word. And the first way for you to hear God's voice is just to read scripture. Kind of an obvious one, right? But read his word or listen to it. Read it and pick out a translation that's easy to read. You know, I preach from the ESV, but there's other translations that are really faithful that are maybe a little more common English and easier just to sit down and just start reading through, especially some of the narrative stories in the Old Testament. Like the New Living Translation, I'd commend that one to you. The New International Reader's Version is a really simple, like fifth grade reading level. If you get YouVersion on your phone, you can find all kinds of different translations for free. They're faithful translations. So read them, let God's word speak to you. Ask God to speak to you before you read. Another one is to meditate on scripture. Like that tea bag, leaving it steep in the water. Slow down. If you want some help with this, if you go to that website and you scroll down a little ways, there's a video you're going to find called A Drive Through the Word. And I just kind of go through this idea of what's it look like, compare it to like if you're going out for a scenic drive, what's it look like to slow down and read God's word in a meditative way? And just slow down and meditate on his word. Another one, a third one, is to memorize scripture. Maybe you'd start with Psalm 85, verse 8. Let me hear what the Lord, what God the Lord will speak, for he speaks peace to his people. Just memorize that this week. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he speaks peace to his people. And then a fourth one, another idea for you, is just to hear God's word. You're doing that by being here on a Sunday morning, hearing God's word taught. There's all kinds of podcasts you can listen to that are faithful where you can hear God's word. Sometimes when I can't sleep at night, I've got these little earbuds that are for sleeping, and they kind of block out noise or play noise or whatever. But I can connect to my phone. Now, I'll just open up my Bible software, and some nights I'll open up Psalms and click, or anywhere else for that matter, and just click the audio version and let it play. And this guy with this really rich British accent reading God's word puts me right to sleep. But the last thoughts that I'm thinking then, even as I drift off, are God's word. And I know that as I stay in that stream over time, he promises to bless that and change me. So just a few ideas for you. There's plenty of others, but I encourage you this week, find a way to put yourself in the stream of hearing God's word and hearing his voice. Amen? I'm gonna pray. If you'd like somebody to pray with you, we'll be hanging out up here. Josh and the team are gonna come lead us as we sing one last time, and then we'll call it a morning. Father, thanks for Jesus. Thanks for your word. Thanks that you're speaking, God, that you don't leave us on our own, but you do long to communicate with us and for us to know you and to know the way you created us and how life is supposed to work. So would you help us to make the effort of just putting ourselves in the way of your word, in that stream, to hear it, to meditate on it, to memorize it, and to make it a priority in our life. We do thank you for your word. And we pray all this through Jesus. Amen.